As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Spoots Magoots. What's up, dude?
Very tired.
Sleepy
me
boy.
Over here. Had a nice long March Madness weekend, little bachelor party, and I'm back for the listeners, you know?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you getting out of bed to get here, because I know you feel like shit.
I've been out of bed. That's the other thing. I've been out of bed because I had work today. So, look, I'm getting back in the groove. The voice will be back by Thursday. I guess I was doing a lot of yelling, and I'm going to blame basketball for that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You're also an angry texter this weekend. That tends to happen when you get out with the boys. It's not angry texting. You just get a little
bit short.
You're very short.
Yeah.
Shrill, if you will.
Shrill.
And
yeah.
Look, we have a special episode. We're coming to you live from my parents' basement because I'm dog sitting for the week while they're down in Florida. So this is the site, if you're watching on YouTube, where we would have many a night back in high school.
Yeah. No, I always forget about the YouTube aspect of this. And I guess so last week when we had to do our 3-episode day.
Oh, yeah.
By the time the VPR hit, and I think I commented on it, but by the time the VPR hit, I was in full lounge position.
Yes, you were.
Just like kind of leaning back. And someone was like watching our YouTube and like, what the fuck's he, like, what's going on?
melting.
Yeah, melting. Literally melting into Steel's couch last week. But yeah, we're going to try not to do that today.
No, we got some summer house to bring you guys. But before we get there, I've got two things. And I'm very excited to talk about Summer House. It's been a very solid season for a lot of different reasons. It's been very entertaining on one end, light, fun. Then you have this crazy dichotomy of that with this really, really dark shit going on with Lindsay and Carl right now. It's making for a very captivating season, which they really needed. But before we get there, I've got two things. One, most importantly, May 3rd, we have a live show in D.C. at Union Stage. That is a Friday night, and I'm going to just do it right now. Usually we tease this show.
Do it.
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
You can't tell me not to.
Do it.
I'm not. You can't tell me not to, because I'm going to.
Don't do it.
What? I'm going to do it. We have a special guest, and by special guest, I mean we have two special guests. We have one, Candace Dillard, and one, Chris Bassett, coming out to join us on stage, as you guys might have heard today. Candace is not returning to Potomac, which is a bummer, but we will have her on stage to answer some of your questions, along with Chris Bassett, a long friend of ours. Everyone knows Chris, yeah.
He's tall.
Long guy, but
long tan and handsome.
Long tan. Hey, SpongeBob reference. But Chris will be joining us on stage as well, and we might have one more special guest we're working on right now. We will check the socials, as we like to say.
Yeah, we'll check the socials, check the messages, make sure that we dot our I's, cross our T's. I was really afraid that I was going to get that backwards.
Your T's and cross your I's.
Yep. But that's just the kind of day that it's going to be. So we're excited. You should be excited. And when you're excited, you know what you do. You go and buy tickets.
That's right.
What happens.
The link in our bio on Instagram to buy those tickets. But I have a very, very special gift for you.
Okay.
As you know. None of you know this because you're not in our group chat, but as you know, we have stumbled upon an AI program that makes songs, and we have gotten lost in it. For those of you that don't know, we have a video game group of a bunch of us because we're a bunch of losers, but we have been sending songs back and forth to each other for the past 24 hours, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this a thing, and I'm not going to do it every episode, but once a week, I'm going to play one theme song option for you.
Okay. Wait, new theme song? We're going to tease a new theme song?
Potentially.
And then never do it.
Probably never change it.
Yeah.
But just so I can put it out there to the world, and I got one for you today. So we're going to play it, and you let me know what you think. And our listeners out there, you let us know as well, because I'm pretty excited. So here you go.
Technically speaking, I don't know if this is going to work.
It should work, because this is a different program running, and then I'm going to cut it. I'm going to put the actual media file in. So
it's okay. This is me listening.
This is you listening, so just shut up and listen.
Hey, bro, what do you know? I'm getting sick and tired of the same old shows. Hey, bro, I know how you feel. I used to watch sports, but I need something real. Hey, bro, I know what you need, some brother.
What the fuck? That's so funny.
I spent so long on that. What do you think?
Oh, my God. That's incredible. I want one every week.
I'm going to bring one every week. One episode a week will have a new theme song option. Like I said, I probably won't.
We need to cut it off at some point.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're going to let the listeners decide what the best one was.
Yep.
God, that's great.
Wasn't that a good one?
Oh, man. That takes my new favorite. Not like Steel said, we've been passing them around in our group chat, and it's all video game centric. My favorite one was the one guy in our group who always goes missing while we're playing, and he does his own thing and basically plays his own game while we're playing a team sport. And that was my favorite to begin with. This is now easily my favorite.
There you go. Well,
how did you get the AI to do Rob Huh?
I just typed in Rob dash Huh, H-U-H, and it actually enunciated the Huh.
How about that?
Yeah, we even got Rob Huh in there. It's a very personalized song. The craziest thing, and then we'll move on because I know you guys don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Bravo. But this takes like, you type in the lyrics and what type of music you want. I literally typed in podcast theme song with the lyrics and click create. It took a minute. It took 1 minute to create that song. That's the world we live in today.
This is how we need to use AI for stuff like this.
Yeah, happy
stuff. Don't take people jobs.
Don't take people jobs.
Take our jobs.
Don't take
people's jobs. Just create theme songs for podcasts.
Yeah, it's all just light, good fun. But yeah, I was really
that's
when you came in and I was wearing
my. Make one. I have a request.
Sure.
Do you think we can make one that sounds like Pitbull?
Oh my God. I have to try now.
We have to try. And I know that Miami's over, but if we work on it and we get it going, we can drop it right when Miami comes back next year. Because I think they're filming in a couple of weeks anyway, so shouldn't be that long. Drop it then.
I think we need
nice
to do
little
that.
Treat.
Yep, that's my next goal for sure. Okay, that's a good call. See, I need this.
I was listening. Obviously, we went to Miami with Julia, and I'm like, is there going to be a Pitbull line here? And there wasn't, so that's saved for another one.
Yep, that's saved for the Pitbull. But hopefully, I can figure that. I don't know how to type that in, because if you say an actual artist, it doesn't allow that. See, we're getting too far.
He's very specific. Yeah. So that's going to be tough to just generalize Pitbull overall, but we'll figure it out.
All I got to type in is Mr. Worldwide, and the AI will be like, I know exactly who that is.
Another one, really?
Anyway, without further ado, you're not here to talk about AI. You're here to talk about Bravo, and we watched Summer House. And I said in the beginning of the episode how I'm feeling about this season. What's your thoughts? How are you feeling about this season thus far?
I think the season's great. I think it's very well documented how we felt about last season through various cycles and all the interviews and the other things that we've done. This season has done a full turn for me. I'm very thankful for it. You know how I feel about Summer House. It was my first Bravo love, if you will. And I think that what you said was perfect. I think we've got a great balance of people having fun and not letting the toxic shit build up too much to the point where no one's having fun because there's too much going on the outside. It's almost like the preseason was last year and nobody really knew how to react to the Lindsey Carl aspect. Mm. Now they do and they understand, okay, they're going to do this shit regardless.
Yeah.
Let's go have fun and not let it ruin our summer. And look, I think it goes without saying that that's casting too. You bring in somebody like Jesse who is, he still has some dumbass lines, especially when it comes to Paige. But when it comes to the Carl aspect, he's getting involved and giving advice, and it's sound reasoning. It's sound reason. And you've got West there who, you know, he's towing the line a little bit because he knows Lindsey and Carl, but he's still there as a good friend, which we didn't get a whole lot of last year. So I'm really enjoying it. I think that they hit everything that we had issues with last year.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest positive this season was the casting call. By having those two newbies come in and deliver it the way they have, and like we said multiple times, after Jesse's intro, we both were like, I know this dude, I know guys like this. He has since turned around, and you know, he got glimpses of it early on, and that's where both of us were kind of questioning, like, is he actually that douchey? No, he's not. He's actually a very reasonable guy, and in this episode, we even hear him say, he's like, you know, every time I get involved with somebody, I'm still looking for other girls. I want to get to a point where I don't do that anymore, and maybe that never happens, and I just need to grow up. So he's very self-aware. Like, he's a super reasonable guy, and I'm glad we're getting that side of him. And, you know, he has the potential to maybe go off the rails from time to time, which is exciting. But those two, I think, are the biggest caveat for why this season is better. because they're also getting everybody to go out again.
Yep.
I feel like those two are at the center of, hey, let's go to the bar. Hey, let's go to the bar. Hey, let's go keep drinking. Let's go downstairs. Let's keep the party going. Yeah. Whereas last year, it was Kyle alone in front of a speaker, sad drinking and trying to dance with nobody else.
Which did create a couple of really good moments and funny moments that we can refer to when we want.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to remember how sad that season was last year.
Right.
We can move on. And I'm happy that they're having fun again. And they're even, I feel like West and Jesse coming in has given the rest of the cast new energy to the point where, you know, we were calling for almost a full rebuild last year, just saying, I don't understand what's going on, and I don't see these people ever wanting to go back out again. They're going to want to, you know, work out in the mornings and just take it easy at night, which is not fun TV. You bring in West and Jesse, all of a sudden people are planning different types of parties. Like the one that we saw in this episode specifically, like going out and camping, they still were able to make it fun, and it wasn't just this boring, like, okay, we're going to go out and camp, and then half the people quit and go inside anyway.
No, they,
like,
stuck it out,
and I like to see that. So I'm enjoying it, and I know you're enjoying it, so why don't we go ahead and start breaking down this episode?
Let's dive in, and we start out, Lindsay is on her stroll down through the Hamptons on the side of the road.
What we're calling it? A little stroll?
A little anger walk, what do you want to call it?
Walking out the anger?
Walking out the anger, I guess, but... We get
what Johnny Cash meant when he said walk hard.
Yes. That is not Johnny Cash. That is the movie Walk Hard with John C. Reilly.
It's not an actual song, Walk Hard?
It is in the movie. Walk hard. Hard. Yeah, that's John C. Reilly and fucking
it's good enough.
That's where your brain's
basically
at.
Yeah.
No, that's Johnny Cash. No, yeah. That's made for the movie. But anyway.
Well, whatever.
Back on track. Lindsay's out on her walk, and we get a quick cut to Carl out by the pool, and he's FaceTiming his parents, and he's talking about they're going camping, whatever. Parents ask, oh, is Lindsay up for camping? And that's when he starts to divulge some info about just where they are at this moment. And I think that, you know, what's being said is somewhat irrelevant because it's tough to hear him still take accountability for things he's not really doing wrong. You know,
right.
I want to be able to do this without upsetting her. It's like, that's very admirable, but you really didn't start shit. She came at you and you defended yourself and then she gaslit you when you reacted to it. But that just shows you sort of where Carl's headspace is. He's trying to figure out a way through this with Lindsay and he's trying to keep her best interest at heart despite everything that's going on. And it is frustrating to hear him apologize constantly for her and apologize to her when I really don't feel like he's done anything wrong. But I think, again, that's like a mirror of the headspace that he's in. But I think the biggest thing I took away from this is he's actively trying. Like, he's talking to his parents. He's trying to work through this. He's trying to get their opinion on it. Meanwhile, Lindsay is just pissed off and walking around and then coming in the house and saying, I almost got hit by a postal truck. No, you didn't.
It's not only that. Actually, the thing that frustrated me the most with Lindsay, and I do feel like this was a better episode in the sense that we didn't see those super dark times anymore, at least for this episode. I don't want to say anymore. But we didn't have to deal with that again because then it's a recurring theme and we have to talk about it every single episode. We get to see a little bit more of this episode. And I do agree that you get to see Carl doing that. And it's got to be a really tough spot to be in because I get it. Like, you are very frustrated with what's going on. We're frustrated watching it. We're trying to understand where the fuck Lindsay's coming from. And we're giving you a little, not giving Carl shit, but it's just tough to watch him apologize for her, apologize for his own actions, which we agree that he doesn't have to apologize for anything. And now he's talking to his parents and he has to talk to all the viewers. Mm-hmm. So you have to rationalize this woman who you're getting married to, supposedly, in the next couple of weeks or months. And you have to rationalize her behavior to all of these people. And you're almost doing that little dance where you don't want your friends to know, you know, the terrible shit that she's done, because if you get through it and you forgive her for that, they might not forgive her for that.
Yeah.
But there's cameras here and we're watching this and your friends are hearing about it. Now your parents are hearing about it. It's a really tough walk and you really have to walk that line hard, you know?
Be a recurring theme.
But it is really tough to watch. And like, I understand why he's doing it. I understand what he's doing. It's really tough to watch, but I get it to a certain extent. What I don't get is Lindsay drunk coming back, making, you know, everything about her and she almost got hit by a postal truck. And what I really don't get is her in the confessional right afterwards saying, I don't want to deal with this BS right now. I just want to have a good weekend.
You're causing all of it.
You are the root of this entire fucking issue. You don't get to sit there and say you want to have a good weekend. I get it if you and Carl are going back and forth and you're arguing about dumb shit and just bickering with each other and you don't want to deal with it and it's ruining your weekends and it's ruining your time while you're on the TV show. Sure, I get it. You don't want to deal with the BS. You want to do it and figure it out in New York. Whatever. You don't get to sit there and say, I don't want to deal with this BS while your fiance is sitting outside trying to rationalize your behavior to his parents.
Yep.
It's a tough fucking look.
It's a very tough look.
It's a very tone deaf look. You look like an idiot.
Yeah. And I came into this week because I got out my rant last week. So I didn't want to be agitated and I'm trying to take a different approach. So I'm glad that you're fired up so you can take that from me today.
Yeah. I don't know how much energy I have, but yeah, but I wanted to get it out early, you know?
Good. I like that. But as Lindsay's talking to Gabby, Gabby's in this very awkward position because she's Lindsay's confidant in the house, but at the same time, Gabby's recognizing everything wrong that Lindsay's doing and pretty much sums it up with, like, I don't really get it, but she doesn't want to be the hunchback of Notre Dame anymore.
I didn't get that at all.
And I guess in the cartoon, I guess he was he the middleman between What's-His-Nuts and Esmeralda?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't think the hunchback had that.
Well, no, he pivotal. What do you mean? He's the leader of the movie. The leader of the movie.
The leader the of the movie.
The hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, I'm
in love with Esmeralda.
I didn't think that. I wasn't saying that he didn't have a pivotal role in the movie.
It's named the hunchback.
I'm saying I don't think that he was like part of negotiations or anything. No. Or like a median. He was the hunchback. No, that's all he was.
The gargoyles were the median.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, now,
right?
Maybe that's what she was doing.
I feel
doing.
Like she's the gargoyle.
Watched that movie in a long time.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's definitely a good classic.
It's sad as shit.
Although, is it like those other Disney movies where it's like, it's a classic, and then you watch it, and you're like, oh, God.
I'm sure there's a couple of references in there, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like the penises in Little Mermaid on the castle. Yeah, yeah there's a bunch of weird Disney shit. But not talking about that. Let's just move on.
Let's just
move on.
You know what? Let's just agree that we have no idea what she's talking about. Yeah. We'll move on.
Yeah, we'll just move on. But she's sick of being the middleman is what it comes down to. And yes. I appreciate that. But we move on from there, and that's where we get to the camp out, and we get like an awkward interaction, Lindsay and Carl, where they're both kind of laughing off what's going on instead of addressing it, which honestly, in this moment, good. Good. It's a camp
out. I appreciated it.
Yeah, like let's have some fun. Let's squash it. You're not going to find any kind of peace tonight. So like have a good night, have everyone else have a good night. So I appreciated that actually. And all in all, like nothing to really report except they have fun. Like the whole group has fun. They get a little wacky, you know, people running around the pool naked. Amanda's licking Kyle's inner thigh, which all I could think about is, has he showered or is he like sweaty Kyle? Because that's gross.
Could be sweaty Kyle, but I mean, he's gone in the pool a couple times, so that we could have that kind of discussion. Like, you know, you come back, you jump in the pool, are you better or worse than you were before?
Worse.
What do you worse?
Mean? Yeah, I don't know. Chlorine. We're getting really sidetracked today.
I know we are. It's my fault. It's my fault. We don't have to have that discussion. But I did think that Amanda had a really funny one-liner where the two of them are running around. Lindsay and Kyle are running around the pool naked.
Mm-hmm.
She said there's no sexual chemistry there or sexual tension there. So this is just funny.
Yeah, she's right, though. But
Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's DANA, on your podcast app.
As they start to wind down, you know, people are sleeping in their individual tents. Jesse is off to go hook up with somebody that's like 2 minutes away from him, and that's where we get the line where he's trying to figure out, you know, what the next step in his life is, because he wants to pursue women. He's not ready to lock it down yet, and even attributes that to maybe I just need to grow up. So again, you have a very self-aware Jesse, which is very different than the guy that came on the camera and said, I like to hook up with girls that are in relationships.
Yeah.
I really don't think that's who he is, and also how he's handling things with Carl. The rest of the people in the house, like, he is able to come into a role where he doesn't really know Carl that well, but he is able to approach it respectfully, but still give an opinion on it and ask questions. So, like, I really actually appreciate the role that he's playing this season along with Wes, and we keep talking about the newbies coming in, but you love when a newbie comes in and does well. When you get two in one season, like, that doesn't happen a lot.
No, that's completely unheard of. But I do appreciate, and it's got to be really tough, especially being a newbie coming on to the scene, to be the one who is now the single guy after watching West and Sierra. And, like, they're having a great time, and we're rooting for them over here for sure.
Sure are.
Because they're fun to watch, and they're not letting their relationship get in the way. Relationship, I want to put in quotes. Get in the way.
Well, they are, according to West, and if you haven't listened to our interview, go back.
It doesn't sound defined, super defined.
No, but they're still trying to figure things out.
Perfect. Love that for them.
My point is, we have hope still.
We have hope still, and I appreciate it, because what they're doing in the house isn't affecting anybody else.
Correct.
They're still able to have fun. They're splitting off. They're doing their own thing, and then they're coming back together, and it sounds like they're going on dates in New York, which is great. But Jesse is now the lone wolf, if you will.
Yep.
Where he's just kind of moving around. And we saw that last year with what's-his-face, Chris.
Chris.
We saw that last year with Chris. Chris didn't have a great summer of doing that, but he was awkward and he was funny. He had no game. It's a completely different approach. Jesse's going out. He's hooking up. He's coming back. He's kind of looking inward because now he's the only single guy there.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that sort of, you know, self-awareness of wondering what's next for me. And it's hard to be the single guy and the new guy sitting there and like, all right, what am I going to bring to the table?
But it doesn't.
He's bringing different things to the table that we haven't seen in the past, is my point.
Yeah.
He's mixing it up. He's giving good, solid advice to Carl, which we'll get to in a second when we go over their soul cycle, which I know you probably want to know if I was upset about.
You weren't, were you?
I wasn't.
I was going to bring that up earlier when you brought up the Barry's boot camp shit and the working out. It's like, this was a successful workout and then talk scene.
Yes.
I knew you were going to think that.
I'm completely fine with it, because guess what they did the night before? They had a whole camp out and they were having fun and getting rowdy.
Yep.
Then they went and they worked out, and we, you know, you see a little glimpse of them working out. That's fine. And we get a little conversation afterwards. So I appreciate that. But Jesse so far, again, you know, we'll get to a little bit later with Paige coming back to the house. He's had a really good trajectory.
Yeah.
He starts off as a douchebag, get to know him a little bit more. He's not that much of a douchebag. He might just have that persona. And I'm interested to see what the rest of the summer brings to Jesse.
I agree. And I thought it was funny while they're in the tents, you get like Sierra and West, who are still in like the early stages. So they're like smooching and laying on each other and like flash over to Kyle and Amanda. She's like, oh, God, don't touch me. It's way too hot. And they're both just like, yeah, fuck off. Like, but as we know, it started to rain. A lot of people bailed and went inside. It looks like Wes stuck it out for a lot longer than other people.
I think Sierra was out there the longest.
I think she was.
Wes ran in with his pillow by himself.
Yeah, I think Sierra stepped. But she's also the camper of the group, which we never knew. I think that's why this is like turning into a Wes and Jesse podcast. But that's probably why I like Wes as much as I do. He's also bringing out a side of Sierra that we really haven't seen. Like a more open and fun and just more energetic Sierra, because usually, you know, she's kind of in the background. She gets involved with an Austin type and then has a shit summer. So kudos, kadoos all around.
Kadoos all around.
But let's keep going. And we wake up the next day. We get Amanda and Kyle, and they're discussing things. And Amanda's extremely well rested, which is hysterical considering they slept in a fucking tent and then it poured. But she's talking about how she feels much better, and I don't know if that's in reference to the tent or in the Hamptons in general. I think it's just the Hamptons in general, but she's talking about moving out of the city, and it seems to me like this is a continued conversation that they have a lot. She's done with the apartment life. She's made that very clear to Kyle, I guess, for a while, and this is a very good depiction of where their relationship is at, and by relationship, I mean marriage, because I feel like this is their whole marriage in a very simple problem.
Yeah.
Because Kyle has the office, which is connected to his apartment in New York. He needs to be there, or not doesn't need to, but wants to be there because that's where the business is. On the other side, Amanda's ready to make a move to the suburbs. She's much more focused on kids and what's next and having a backyard and all of that stuff. And that's literally where they're both at in their heads. Take the apartment and the house out of it. That's just where they are in their lives. And this inability to come to a mutual agreement on what's better for where to move forward. But the difference in this conversation than what we've seen in the past, and it doesn't look like it's going to last because we get that scenes from next week or whatever, and they kind of blow up. They're both calm and like hearing each other. And Kyle's like, you keep pushing Jersey. And Amanda's smiling and like, yeah. And you go to the confessional and she's like, he gets Aperol spritzes and hors d'oeuvres out in the suburbs. Like, why wouldn't he want to move to Jersey? But it's just, it was interesting to watch this conversation knowing that there's more to it than just where are we living. It's more so like what's next for us. And I think such a massive part of that is Kyle and the business. And I get it. I get how much he's worked for this. You know, he's poured his blood, sweat, and tears into Loverboy. So is Amanda. You know, whether that's from helping with designing the logos or just supporting Kyle through this entire journey, I feel like Loverboy is the major component of what's next for them. And I feel like on Kyle's side of things, to be able to come to some kind of realization that you can still have the business, live in the burbs with Amanda, and still do your thing in the city. You can commute. Like, your business does not hinge on being there 24/7, 365 anymore. Like, you are a national drink. People know you across the... I'm not saying you need to step back or slow it down. Like, keep pushing all of that stuff. But when he's talking about compromising and things like that, I feel like he's aware that at some point he's going to have to make the compromise. But he seems somewhat... I don't think resentful is the right word. He doesn't seem mad about it, but much more hesitant than, like, that is the natural progression. You guys want a family, you might need to move out of the city. There's nothing wrong with raising kids in the city, but that's not what Amanda wants. Like, you can have the business and live in the suburbs. I guess this is my point.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I saw this discussion a little differently, though.
Okay.
I saw that Amanda was the calmer one and willing to compromise and even saying things like, obviously, you know, this isn't a full-time thing, but it would be nice to have another property outside of the city like Jersey. So she wasn't recommending and pushing for the full move out there. Now, obviously, you can keep an office in the city. I don't know how much of a, like, brick-and-mortar office you actually need.
I love everybody,
something
right?
Like that. Like, you're going to be going out a lot. You're going to be courting clients. You're going to be – they do it already, and we see it on their socials. They're going to different places, like, on the West Coast, and they're bringing a little bit of product, and they're showing around, and they're – you know, it's essentially just like a party, and you're selling your drink. You're selling your brand to people in different areas. Now, obviously, you're going to have people come visit you in New York, and you're going to do this. I don't know how much you need to be there to do that. You could set up an office in New Jersey and do it. The way that I saw this conversation going was Amanda talking about what their next step is. And I don't know if they even realized that what they were talking about was their entire future.
Right.
It seems like they're just trying to keep it in this one little discussion of, do we get a property in New Jersey? It's like, okay, you bring that up. It's actually a lot bigger than that. What you're doing right now is essentially, in a nutshell, what's going on in your lives and what you're doing. I don't think that they realize that, but what I saw was Kyle's wheels turning. And as soon as Amanda starts talking about New Jersey, he starts thinking about the business.
Yes.
You can have two separate discussions. You're allowed to have two. If you listen to Amanda, she's saying, we can start that process now by having property there. And then when the business is essentially autonomous or self-sufficient, you can then leave the city and you can live in New Jersey full-time with me, with the kids.
Yes.
You don't need to live in New York to do that. And she's doing it in a very nice way. And I don't think that Kyle saw that. Kyle's immediately just goes defensive.
Yeah.
He's like, well, we can't do that right now because I've got the business.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I think that the business is getting in the way, and I get it. You have a business. It's like you're having your child already. But you need to figure it out, dude. Like, you're, what, 41?
Yeah, and I think...
And I don't want... We never, like, age shame. We never go down that road. But you do need to figure it the fuck out.
And I think that, you know, like you said, they seem to be communicating at the very least. And yeah, he might be a little bit more checked out when she brings up Jersey because now he's trying to spin his wheels and figure out what's next for Loverboy.
I think they're communicating. They're literally communicating. They're just saying words to each other.
Oh, you don't think
that's resonating? I don't think anything's landing.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think they're actually having that deep down discussion where they're coming to a compromise or they're coming to a decision. They're just talking.
Which is interesting because the way Amanda's saying it, I'm like, if you can afford it, you know, which is a different question. I'm assuming they probably can, but regardless, like, if you can afford it, this seems to be like a pretty reasonable compromise. She's happy. You still got the spot in New York. We can still run the business out of there. So, like, I'm very curious if this is going to come back up, if it's going to be another conversation, because when she was talking, I was like, I'm on your team.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
I'm very much, at least with the Amanda and Kyle stuff at this point, I'm very much in the same boat as I am with the Paige and Craig stuff. Until you guys make a fucking decision, I don't care. Just stop. Like, we don't need to have this whole discussion. Like, yes, it is nice to see Kyle and Amanda having a calm discussion because it's been years and years of them not having calm discussions ever about anything. So now that they're able to at least sit down and talk about their future, that's good, I guess. But until you make a decision, just I don't need to see it.
That's interesting. I just don't care. But yeah. We saw it differently. But then we check in with Lindsay and Carl. And again, like, this is what drives me nuts with these scenes is, you know, they wake up, everyone's in a good mood. All right, Camp Night was a smashing success across the board. Everybody's happy. So they're laying in bed, and Carl initiates the conversation, and, you know, they're like, yeah, we kind of snapped out of our funk, whatever. Like, it's one night where we didn't have to address anything. And, yeah, you know what you guys are fighting about. You don't need to go down that rabbit hole every single time. You can have a night where it's just like, let's fucking stop and just have some fun. And they did. But again, Carl's like, I apologize. I'm sorry I got so frustrated.
Yeah.
And she doesn't reciprocate. She says,
I apologize for nothing.
I appreciate that, but I don't know where it's coming from. It's like, bro, like, this is the moment where you can say, you know what, Carl? I apologize for how I reacted, which still, Carl should not be apologizing here, but at the very least, you could meet him in the middle and say, yeah, me too. Instead, you're putting it on him again.
Yeah.
You guys are actively communicating right now, calmly. No one's getting a temper. No one's escalating. And instead of continuing that conversation, you say, we can discuss this in couples therapy.
Yeah. And I think, and we've talked about the whole couples therapy thing before, where we've seen some couples on Bravo talk about couples therapy and they say they're saving it for therapy.
This seems like a cop-out.
It's a cop-out. The whole thing is you're supposed to be getting the tools from therapy so that you can have these discussions on your own. I think what's going on with Carl right now is it's almost like he starts this conversation off like, yes, they're in a better place because they had a good night last night. Everybody was happy. They were at least happy and they were able to have fun.
She barely remembers it, by the way. Doesn't remember running around the pool, but whatever.
Yeah, of course. We're not going to talk about that because we don't want to rip that Band-Aid off. He's sitting there extending an olive branch saying, I'm apologizing because you said that I was frustrating, or rather that I got frustrated and it escalated the situation. I'm going to start this off with an apology, an olive branch, if you will. She doesn't take it. That's the problem. And then when she doesn't take it and she starts spinning it into, I just don't understand where anything's coming from and we're going to save it for couples therapy. That's got to be crazy for Carl to like try to grasp and try to understand, because again, they're getting married in a few weeks. So what am I supposed to do? Like, am I crazy? Am I misremembering things? Am I really the one who's pushing this whole thing and I'm making her crazy? Like, if your partner isn't reciprocating the apology and taking ownership for the things that she's done, how's that supposed to make you feel? Like, if look, we can all sit here and say that's fucking nuts, and I would like lash out and realize, well, she's wrong, she's crazy, I can't take full responsibility for all of this, and she's not willing to do that, then it's over. Every one of us can sit here from the outside perspective and say,
hindsight's a crazy
sure,
thing, yeah.
Exactly. But Carl, in that moment, we don't know what he's thinking. We don't know what this is doing to his psyche. This could be completely fucking him up and raveling himself inside, just trying to think of, what am I supposed to do in this situation? I don't know. And that's really tough to watch. And I'm happy that we only had this moment to dig with, because we do need a break from the Lindsay and Carl of it all.
They do too.
Because it's just, they got a break.
they
a big break. But yeah, no, I was thankful for at least this episode that this was really the only Lindsay and Carl of it all until the end that we need to discuss, because we need a bit of a break from this.
Yeah, and that's when we get the Soul Cycle scene, and it's Carl, Wes, Sierra, and Jesse, and they're sitting out back afterwards. And first of all, love this crew. This is a great crew. If they go to Soul Cycle and then bop around afterwards every week, I'm down for that.
Every week?
Just fucking stop. It was a 30-second clip, not even of
them.
They
can go to lunch.
Cycle.
Why do we have to, like, just let them? I don't want it. It's a slippery slope, all right? It's a slippery slope. I said it was okay.
It's a slippery slope to Barry's boot camp.
Okay? Yeah.
It's one Soul
Cycle. It's a slippery slope to,
wait,
I'm going to bed at 9 p.m. because we've got Barry's tomorrow.
Have you been to a Soul Cycle?
No.
Bro.
Do I look
that
like I've
place
been?
Place is, it's an interesting crew. And if you do Soul Cycle,
I know they have like
do
themes
your thing.
And they do like the Taylor Swift theme. And
it's just intense. Like, not just the workout, like
oh,
what they're saying to you. Like, they get you to try to dive deep. Like, you are getting deep into what's going on with you at the moment. They're like, if you have anything going on with you, you yell it out right now. And people are screaming next to me and shit. Yeah, it was like an experience.
Did you partake?
No. No,
I
no,
didn't
no.
Think so, yeah.
This is also like way back. This is like 4 years ago. Now I might let out a holler, but even then, like, it's not for me. It is definitely not for me. It's not my
fucking
vibe.
Fucking shooters gaslighting me constantly.
So sick of this shit. No, it's not for me. If it's for you, great. Like, whatever keeps you going and keeps you active, awesome. Wasn't for me. It's a whole thing. But while they're sitting down afterwards discussing everything, Jesse brings it up immediately, and he just asks, But when they're sitting there talking, Jesse brings it up immediately, and he's like, you know, it was nice to see that you guys had, like, a fight-free weekend, but did she ever apologize for accusing you of relapsing? Did she ever apologize for any of her behavior? And even in this moment, and, you know, people might write this off and not put a lot of emphasis on exactly how Carl said this, but in this moment, he is still defending Lindsay and giving her an out, maybe subconsciously, I don't know. But he says, if she did, I don't recall.
Yep.
Which is very different than saying, no, she did not. Which, by the way, no, she did not. But by saying that, you are still not saying that I'm anti-Lindsay right now.
He's not, and he's still doing that protection of Lindsay to his friends thing.
Which is impossible to do. I get it. Like,
I know.
Hard, and it's like, you know, it's a hard line to walk.
But stop doing that.
What?
Walk hard.
Oh, that wasn't even intentional. See, you got it in my brain.
I know.
That's the
word
of the day, or phrase of the day.
Inception. No, it was just, it's tough for me to watch that because I'm watching it like, these are the people that you want to sit down and talk to. These are probably the most sound people in the house.
Yeah.
That can give you logic. Now, I get like, there's too much history with Kyle. There's too much history with Amanda. You're sitting with Jesse, who doesn't have years and years of Lindsay conflict.
Yeah.
You're sitting with West, who does know both of you. And we know, and we've talked to West, we talked to him last week, but we've seen enough on screen to know that he's gonna give you good logic. He's gonna be able to break it down and give you good advice if you come to him for that. We've seen Sierra. I would argue that Sierra is the least jaded person in the house. She's even had issues directly with Lindsay, and she's still willing to bury that when, I mean, we see it a little bit later when they're cooking the Southern dinner. Like, yeah, she hasn't talked to Lindsay a whole lot, but she's got your best interest in mind. These are the people that you're going to be honest with, and it sucks to watch Carl still making excuses for Lindsay.
Yeah, but I think it's just ingrained in him to do so, and I think anybody in that position, you'd probably be the same way, but
it was just a weird phrase. Like, if she had apologized, yeah, no, I don't remember.
I don't recall.
What do you mean? That's like the biggest sticking point of the summer so far. You would remember in a heartbeat if she apologized.
He knows that. He's saying that.
They know that, too, and that's like, you. If you flat out say no, they know that. If you flat out say yes, then they go, oh, well, that's good. If you say, if she did, I don't remember, they know it's bullshit right away.
Yeah, but this is probably one of my favorite scenes with Sierra ever.
Yeah.
Her breaking this whole thing down, and she shares even more with us, something that at least I don't remember.
No, I don't think she's gone into this at all.
Yeah, she starts talking about, you know, she starts out with saying, it really hurts for us to watch her accuse you of these things because they're not small accusations. It's tearing down who you are. Like, that's tearing down your soul. And standing by and watching this happen is really difficult to see, especially considering my background. And she talks about her dad, I guess, would get drunk, and he was a very volatile alcoholic, and her parents fought all the time, and she grew up in an unstable household, as she describes it. And she said that had lasting effects on her, and it really affected her relationship with her dad. They haven't talked in over a year. So she has some knowledge on this topic of just parents that are not seeing eye to eye, or a volatile parent and the other one trying to manage that, which is what's going on right now. And that even brings it back to the statement that Carl made. I don't recall. It's Carl trying to manage Lindsay. And she says one of my favorite lines that I think I've heard, and it's something that everybody should take to heart. She says, don't sacrifice who you are to bring out the best in her. And that's the best way to put it to Carl. Don't sacrifice everything you've been working on to try to make Lindsay a better person, because now you're losing yourself in this whole thing. And at the end of the day, you know, Lindsay's ready to have babies tomorrow. What relationship are you bringing them into?
Yeah.
What does it look like? Because right now, are you really comfortable having a kid that's going to see this kind of back and forth between the two of you? Because guess what? I grew up that way, Sierra, and it's not great. It's not great, and it affects you for the rest of your life. So, again, as you said, this group right here is the best group for him to get information from, only because everyone else in the house, you know, Paige, Amanda, Kyle, they have their shit with Lindsay, and they're very vocal about it. This group's going to give it to you straight, and Sierra brings it a step further and familiarizes with it.
Yeah.
And that was huge, and it was also such a great moment for her in her arc on this show, because, you know, we've seen her she's been fine for the past few years.
She's been fine. I wasn't, you know, in love with her as a cast member, but I wasn't in love with anybody as a cast member the last couple of years. Yeah. So I never really singled her out, but we've never gotten anything to this extent with Sierra. And look, as much as I like her and West, I'm not going to say and immediately say it's good because she's having fun with West and now all of a sudden she feels comfortable.
Yeah, I'm not giving in.
I'm not going to do that at all. I'm going to say that we haven't seen anything like this from her. And it was awesome. It was very welcomed to hear her at least speak on that aspect moving forward with Kyle or with Carl and to try to reach him on a different level and show like, hey, dude, we know you've got a lot of shit going on. We know what's going on with Lindsay. We know how that affects your relationship and what you've gone through with your journey, especially knowing what you went through with your brother. And we're here to talk about it. And I hope that that at least opened the gate for him a little bit more. Because, as I said, he started off this conversation with them immediately defensive with Lindsay. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that not everybody, and I know I would say 75% of the house, they might want to talk shit on Lindsay, but they do still love you. This group isn't like that. This group's sitting down like, hey, you know, we're here to talk about it. We see how she's treating you. We see what it's doing to you. And we want to try to help. Yep. So hopefully that opens up another door to another conversation because they're going to get a little more comfortable. And I know Jesse brings it up a couple more times at least. He did it a little bit later in the episode. He's probably going to do it again.
Jesse is Carl Jr.
He is. Carl's Jr.
I know.
There we go. Nicely done.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I hope that that at least resonates with Carl, that he has people that he can talk to that aren't just out to get Lindsay. They're here to help you.
And we're going to see it play out this season. But the next scene, we get to check in with Craig and Paige, who we haven't seen this entire season. And Paige is apartment shopping, and she wants to move into a two-bedroom. She's very careful with how she phrases it. It's not for them, but she wants it to be for them. Which is, I don't understand. Like, yes, it's for Craig, but it's my place.
I know. And this is what I'm talking about. I just, like, we know where we know where Craig and Paige are. We've seen it on Southern Charm. We've seen it on Summer House. We've seen it on Winter House. We've seen so much. I, you know, obviously we'll talk about what Craig says a little bit later. But in this moment, I just don't need to read into it any more than what it is. We've seen so much of the exact same thing over and over and over again. I'm happy that they're happy. I support them. I want them to, you know, take it the distance. But until you give me new information, I don't give a shit.
No, but I did think that it was interesting that Craig is offering, you know, if you find a sick place, I will kick in for the difference of what your budget is compared to, you know, if it's a $12,000 place, she's willing to go to $9,000, so he'd kick in $3,000. I actually respect Paige in saying, no, I'm not taking your money. Like, what if something happens and now you're on the hook for $3,000 and we're broken up?
I.e. Carl's still paying for the apartment with Lindsay.
Correct. So I really actually appreciate that and that she stands.
I appreciate both sides. And that's the thing about this relationship that I've always seen. I get where they're both coming from. They'll figure it out. And this is another one of those things. It's like, I understand why Craig is saying, yeah, well, I'm going to spend a lot of time there. You even said to the realtor, he spends 50% of his time up here, 50% down in Charleston. Now, Paige isn't paying for his house, but he bought his house and he's paying for the house and he wants to renovate. That's great because he wants an option for their family later in life if that's where they go. That's great. If he wants to kick in a little bit, awesome. You're going to be spending a lot of time there. If Paige says no because she isn't ready for that step and, you know, she wants to wait till marriage, also great.
And I think that by, you know, investing in somebody's home as far as like Paige putting in time to renovate and if Craig was kicking in, it's just more clarity on like the next step. Like we are moving towards a place where we're supporting one another instead of being standalone.
I just think that we've talked about this so much that the next step is whenever the fuck they decide to get engaged.
Yeah, but we have to talk about it because they're talking about it. All right? So get off your little sad horse over there.
No, they're talking about it, but we're not getting any new information.
No, but this is
a fucking stalemate.
I disagree because in this episode, you're seeing even more so, which we've heard.
That's what I'm saying. We can talk about how Craig's disposition has changed.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But even then, has it? Or is it just them using dramatic music while Kyle's talking about it in his confessional? Well, I don't think anything has really changed. Like, yes, we can break it down super, super deep and say, well, you know, Craig's keeping his options open. It's like, I don't think Craig's keeping his options open. I think that he's just looking at it realistically like, well, Yeah, like we don't know what the hell's going to happen. And until we get engaged, and even then, you don't know what the hell's going to happen. Look at Lindsay and Carl. So yeah, there's always going to be that quote unquote options open aspect. And I think that Craig is kind of tired of talking about it. I think that they're comfortable. I think that in the past, we could have looked at this and said, there's a lot of discomfort with where they're coming from. There's a lot of uncertainty with where their relationship's going to go. I think that they've gotten to a point now where, yeah, you know, they'll get to the point where they get engaged. And then that's got to be okay with us. That's got to be okay with everybody else because it's okay with them.
Yeah.
I don't see the conversation with Craig and Kyle talking about that as, oh man, Craig's unhappy. You know, Craig's not going to sit around and wait forever. Like, yeah, of course he's not going to sit around and wait forever. We've known that. But they're still happy and they're still fine. It's just, this is how they're choosing to go about it.
I respect it. I'm not saying that they need to change anything up. I'm saying it's just interesting watching the levels of it. Like, as it kind of progresses, you know, Craig's getting more comfortable with them not making it, which if I'm Paige, it would be a little alarming. But if I'm Craig, you know, good for you for being in a place where your mental and physical health are a priority, and now you're comfortable with who you are. So I agree with you. I'm not saying we need to hammer this shit home every week, every episode. Like, we know where they stand. Let's put it to bed. But I would like to see some kind of movement eventually. How about
that? I would love to see some kind of movement eventually. But I just know that the next movement is them getting engaged because they've told us that a million times.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
And it's just, and I get it. Like, from a reality TV aspect, we want people to move fast. We want them to get engaged. We want them to get married. We love that. We want to support that because we stand the relationship. But they're
sure
not
do.
Doing that, so I'm not doing that.
That's fair. But the next scene, we get the boys getting petties with Jesse and West. And the only thing of note here is Craig is coming to the house. And as we know, Jesse was a little flirty with Paige. His response to what his response would be is kind of dumb because you were flirting with Paige.
Yeah.
And if Craig has an issue with that, Craig has every right to have an issue with that. But the other thing is Craig's not going to come in with his chest out and be like, you were flirting with my girl.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I get it because Jesse hasn't met Craig before.
Yeah.
So you don't know. But we know Craig. We love Craig. And we understand where that's going to go. I mean, Jesse's not wrong. Dudes do come in. And he's wrong in the sense that he shouldn't have been flirting with Paige when she has a very notable relationship.
Yes.
Especially on Bravo. Like, we all know this. So don't do that. That's stupid. You're not going to get anywhere with that. He's not wrong that dudes do that.
Yeah, but him taking the tough guy routine in that stance was weird to me.
Oh, yeah, that's the comment that I was talking about earlier. Yeah. That I'm like, all right, that's just the wrong comment.
Yeah, like, what
you,
if
you just don't say that?
If he does have an issue, like, what are you going to do? It's like, flirt with Paige. It's like, that's the wrong answer.
And that's not Craig being insecure about his relationship.
No,
he's not worried that when he's down in Charleston, that Paige is going to try to hook up with you. It's just that if he gets a vibe that you're a scumbag,
he
doesn't want to have to worry that Paige is up in the Hamptons and there's some scumbag in the house that's going to be flirting with her at every turn. That's annoying.
And that's a reasonable thing for a boyfriend.
A very reasonable thing.
Say.
Yes.
So, and I, you know, maybe that was like he's with West and like he's feeling tough and wants to say that. Like, I'm not going to
take your
shit.
Well, he said that in his confessional.
Yeah, that too. So, like, you know, hindsight, whatever. But that's not what we see. And I knew that wouldn't be what happened because I didn't think Craig was going to come in hot.
He didn't.
And he said, what's up, dude? I'm Craig. And like, they will probably be best friends because they're going to get along really well. But
shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Steele, you know that I suffer from allergies, right?
I can tell you're suffering right now, actually.
Yeah, honestly, this time of year, I struggle with allergies and it is the absolute worst. And I could never really seem to figure out how to get them and keep them at bay. Just to make sure that I get some relief during the day when I'm out and about. I don't want it to bog me down. You know, allergies suck and they're the absolute worst. Astapro is awesome. Astapro is great. It's got a nasal spray that I try to make sure that I do every morning. Sometimes I do it at night and just let it sit because it really helps me and it makes me feel a lot better throughout the day so that I'm not suffering from allergies. Because look, I could be out at a party and then halfway through I feel the allergies setting in, get a little tired, get a little nasally, get a little headache. Nobody wants any of that.
I get an issue with it when you're nasally on the podcast because it doesn't sound good.
That's a really good point. Nobody wants a nasally shooter magooter on the podcast, and Astapro helps with that. I can just use the nasal spray and I can feel that it's going to work and I can be confident that it's going to make me feel better. And Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working within 30 minutes, while the other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro.
Moving on, we get Lindsay with Amanda, and we find out that Carl's coming on Saturday. And Lindsay's saying, oh, yeah, you know, he has to pick up this delivery and bring it to the city. We already know because we saw clips last week, and then we get a clip in this episode where he's doing this intentionally. He could have been there on Friday, but yep. He wants to take a Friday off to try to break the cycle, which is a very good move. And no,
you're not getting anywhere with Lindsay, so no, got to take matters into your own hands.
But, you know, Amanda's questioning their relationship, not to Lindsay's face, but, I mean, everybody is. We know that they all are. But right. We get to the house, and this is the Southern dinner, and they're having country fried steak or chicken fried steak, however you want to say. I call it chicken fried steak. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Can you make that for me sometime?
I will make you chicken. It's right. So good with, like, country gravy and, like, oh, my God.
I'm in.
It's one of my favorite meals ever. You have a biscuit on the side to, like, lap it all up at the end.
Hell yeah.
Ugh, I'm hungry right now.
I am starving.
But the last thing that we really need to talk about, and we already discussed it for the most part, but that was just Craig and Kyle outside chatting, and that's what's the next step with Paige. And we've already discussed, we don't need to beat a dead horse here, but again, it's like, we'll see. Craig is comfortable with where he's at, which is all you can really ask for, and that also speaks to a healthy relationship that he's been able to find himself in this relationship. And I also really, really like that when Paige, and I think she was joking, I don't think this was a serious comment, she's like, yeah, I think I tricked him into thinking that it was his idea. And Craig's like, no, like, this is my journey. And outside, like, this, he's taken full ownership of his life and the changes and the choices that he's making right now. And it's such an interesting thing to see on a network in which we see people constantly going the opposite way.
Yeah.
To see him go the other way, and the business is thriving. Like, he's huge. That business is massive right now. He's doing really well. Him and Austin are opening up a bar in Charleston. Like, he's making all these amazing moves and doing very well in his own life. And I think that will only reflect in him and Paige's life if they can get to that next step. But Kyle's only thing is that he's skeptical. And I think that's, again, just because people don't understand it. And I think that's always going to be kind of the default answer is like, but can they make a decision? It's like, well, they seem to be happy right now. So as you keep saying, and we'll put it to bed right now, let's stop talking about it for now.
Yeah. No, I think that from an outside perspective, and we've seen it on Bravo a million times, that couples are putting on this facade of, yeah, we're happy with where we are. We're trying to figure it out, and we're going to wait until both of us are ready to go ahead and do it. And honestly, it's a little ironic that Kyle's sitting there judging all of this, and it's like, okay, right. We're watching you and Amanda not communicate, right. And one of you or both of you are clearly unhappy with the other's decision and or lack thereof, rather, about what you're going to do with kids. And are you going to move and do this and that and whatever? So maybe just sit back and figure out your own shit.
You would think.
Don't worry about what Craig and Paige are doing, because guess what? They're talking about having kids, you know, years down the line. They're talking about getting married in a couple of years. Like, yeah, it's not super tangible and it's not super concrete as to what they're going to do, but they're happy. You and Amanda have been in so many different places where you can tell that at least one of you was not very happy, mm-hmm. and the other one was just sticking their head in the sand and ignoring the problems.
Yep.
So you're not the person to talk to about this right now. You're not the person to read too far into it. Let's just leave it as is. I do think, I don't know why I was agreeing, because I'm the one who said this. Bravo was trying to drum up the fucking drama for this.
Yeah, no.
It's not dramatic.
Mm-mm.
Oh, all of a sudden Craig is saying, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to wait around forever.
He said this already.
We've done this before.
He said that exact sentence where he's like, I'm now, because of where I am in my life and the work that I've done to myself, and I don't know, I think it was Southern Charm when he said it. He's like, I'm okay if we don't. It was
Southern Charm because,
he said it to Paige's face.
Yes.
So, like, it's not a secret, and Paige heard that, didn't take offense to it. She was like, no, I know what you're saying. And yeah, that's great.
We talk about communication with these couples all the time. Craig and Paige communicate everything, they're for good. Better or for worse.
Yeah, they're good.
Sometimes one of them will say something stupid, but then they immediately rein it in and they talk about it.
Yes.
Right then and there.
Yep.
That's great for them.
Yep. But the very last scene, I almost forgot about it, was we get Carl in the hot tub with the boys. We get the boys in the hot tub minus Carl. And they're talking about Carl, and this is where we find out, you know, Carl was never going to come on Friday. Like, he told us after SoulCycle that he wasn't going to be here because he wanted to break the cycle. Oh, interesting.
Hey.
Like, SoulCycle to break the cycle. See, SoulCycle works.
How about that?
But we get some news. Like, Kyle said that he's been to their apartment, and or maybe one of their friends had been
to their
apartment.
It was one of their friends. It could have been Kyle.
Maybe.
It definitely sounds like it may have been Kyle.
But regardless, like, it seems as though they're sleeping separately at their own apartment in New York, which means that, and no shock to anybody, but these problems are following them home to the city, or vice versa. The problems were in the city. They're following them to the Hamptons, but a change of scenery is not helping anything because the root of the problem therein lies Lindsay. Like, that's the root of all of it. Until that gets addressed, nothing's going to change, and it doesn't get addressed until the end of the season, but thank God it did. But the biggest thing to take away is that, and I hope Carl is able to watch this season now and take some solace in knowing that at no point was anybody in this house on the other side of the street, where I'm sure he's racking his brain, because they're not saying it to his face. They are showing support to him, but they're not out, like, flat out saying, fuck Lindsay. I hope he can watch it back, and I'm sure that the scenes with Lindsay are, like, really hard to watch, but hopefully he watches these scenes and he's like, oh, I had support from day one, which has got to be comforting in some way. And also, like, hats off to the cast for taking the approach that they did in not attacking his fiance, because it wouldn't have gone well. Like, if they had tried to take the approach of, dude, what the fuck are you doing? That's not going to work, because he's immediately going to be like, dude, that's my fiance. Don't talk about it like that.
Right.
So they've taken a great approach. I'm glad they have his best interest at heart. And on the flip side, you get Lindsay spinning a narrative of they don't have sex because Carl doesn't initiate. It's like, why the fuck would he initiate any kind of sex when you guys are not able to talk? Like, there's no way in that house there's ever a vibe of, ooh, let's have sex now. Like, you can't put it on him. I'm not saying it's entirely her fault either here. We're not behind closed doors as far as their intimate relationship. But at the same time, if Carl's feeling a certain way, or you're feeling a certain way, the last thing on your mind, if you can't have a conversation without fighting, is fucking. Let's be real.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that Lindsay was actively spinning a narrative here.
I thought she wasn't entirely.
I think that she is oblivious to the problems in the relationship.
She's not. That is such a cop-out and giving her way too much credit.
I don't think that. Oh, I think that's not giving her credit at all. I think that she's not trying at all in the relationship. So she is completely oblivious to Carl being unhappy about things.
I think.
But also, Carl is sitting here apologizing over and over again for Lindsay. So maybe she just thinks. But I don't know. I just don't.
I think that it is insane to think that she doesn't know exactly what she's doing at all times.
Well, I mean, I think that goes to show you that, and a lot of people do think this, that Lindsay is actively driving this relationship into the ground because she doesn't want to do it.
I don't think that's what it is. I think that she wants Carl to act and be a certain way, and she's going to continue to try to break him down until she gets the man that she wants out of this relationship, which is not the Carl that is Carl. She wants to actively break him down to about yay big, put him in her pocket, and take control of it all, and have him wait on her hand and foot. I think every single thing she does is meticulous. I think it's manipulative, and I think that she is always conscious of exactly what she's saying and what kind of message it's sending.
Yeah, I was a little unhappy with the, like, Amanda and Paige of it all, leaning into it and trying to get Lindsay to talk about it more and saying, like, oh, no, you need to change that.
Right.
It's not that simple. You've watched it. One, it's not that simple. Two, you've watched the way that they interact with each other for the last couple of weekends. You have to assume that there's deep-rooted issues here.
You have to assume that Carl's not the issue if you're watching what's transpiring over the past couple of weeks.
Correct. Yeah, and it's not Carl that's doing any of this. I fully agree with that. That it is the relationship. The relationship is not good. So why would you anticipate that the sex would also happen frequently? Like, why would you assume that, oh, yeah, you guys are fighting all the time. Clearly, everything else is fine, right, guys?
Yeah, but you're still banging, right?
Yeah, it's just like, no, that's not really how that works. Like, everything has to be working congruently for it to work all together, and it's just not happening. So for them to sit there and say, oh, well, you got to change that, Lindsay, like, maybe that's, like, no, it's not. I just think from the other aspect, I think that Lindsay is completely delusional and in one way or another. So for her to come to Amanda and Paige, who do not support you, who have never supported you, who you've complained in the past, for her to confide in them just kind of shows me, and again, we talk about this, Lindsay was quote-unquote blindsided by the end of it.
Bullshit.
It's just not. Like, I think that she was, in her own delusional way, blindsided by it. You don't at all?
I think that, again, I used to think that. The more I'm watching how she behaves and the things she says, the timing in which she says it, and how she tries to play the victim constantly. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I think that she definitely had at least an inkling that this was going to happen, or that things were going the wrong way. As far as the camera crew, who the fuck knows? Like,
yeah, but, I don't know.
But as far as being blindsided by this transpiring, there's absolutely no way she was. Mm-hmm. But the easiest way for her to claim that she was is to go on a press tour immediately after the season ends, immediately after the news breaks, take the upper hand from Carl and say, oh my God, I was blindsided. He's a monster, this, that. And she knows that because of Carl's past, unfortunately, people are going to hear this story from her and immediately side with her. And we saw that. And thank God, one, Carl didn't speak out and just let the season speak for itself.
Yeah.
But two, you and I sat here and didn't jump on any side. We said, we don't fucking know.
Yep.
We have no idea how this happened. We have no idea the ins and outs of it. We're not taking a side, because that would be crazy without the information. So many people, so many accounts, so many different Bravo fans went on a fucking warpath against Carl without knowing any of the information and knowing Lindsay's history. That's crazy to me. So I'm so glad we didn't do that. But yeah, I think that knowing how Lindsay's behaving this season, watching it all in real time, there is absolutely no way that she was blindsided. That was just the easiest approach to take to play the biggest victim card of all, which worked until the season aired and Carl, being very smart, let the season do the work for him.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to find out how this falls out, you know?
Find out how it falls out?
Fallout? What would be the present participle of fallout?
We will find
probably
out
doesn't exist.
How this
pans out?
Pans out. Yeah, that's better.
Pans out.
Pans out's much better.
Yeah.
Falls out sounds gross.
Words are hard.
They are
Look,
hard.
I got through an entire episode. I didn't mess up as much as I thought I would.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro.
What do you know?
Wow.
You want to hear it again?
No, I'm too tired, too hungry.
That's fair.
I want to be able to appreciate it, you know?
That's fair.
And this is now week three of me being question master. And
how do you like it?
I think I'm getting better at it. I enjoy it.
Okay, cool.
Got all the power. You don't like that?
I don't like that.
This one comes from Zach Mellon. Which cast member do you each think the other acts most like?
Ooh. That's tough.
Right?
I don't want to insult you.
I don't know how.
Without the relationship issues and shit, Kyle, for you.
Okay.
But not the mean part of Kyle.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, I would take that.
West, maybe, actually. No, I give you West. I'll give you West.
All right, I'll take West.
Plus, you guys both have stashes, as you guys discussed for a very long time.
As we discussed at length. Mustache length.
Mustache length, yeah.
I mean, yours, you don't really act like any of these guys on the show.
Good.
Yeah, I know. I think that's, like, obviously people can be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, Carl's sober, Steele's sober, like, look at this. It's like, no, he's completely different than Carl, and yeah. And the rest of the cast doesn't really work. So I was trying to think, actually, one of the girls. Not like to be mean, but I was like, oh, yeah, maybe.
Which one?
Probably Sierra.
I'll take that.
I would say.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can All right,
let's go with that.
That
then.
Yeah, I'll be Sierra.
And we'll do one more.
One
just
more,
because this is,
Shooter's a sleepy boy.
I'm very sleepy. Max June asks, which former male Summer House castmate should come back full time? I don't know if you break up the dynamic. I mean, if we have to ask.
I guess Luke, maybe.
I don't want Luke back.
No, he would fuck the house dynamic up. Honestly, Chris.
I think Chris could work. Yeah,
I'm not going to change any dynamic. He can jump right into the group.
Yeah, and he's he's pretty supportive. Actually, he would work pretty well this year because him and Carl got pretty close.
Yeah, and the new dudes in the house, I think he'd resonate with.
Yeah, I think he would as well. I'm happy you didn't say Alex because you've been pining for Alex.
I just think Alex is a sweet soul. I felt bad.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been in the position anyway. He's not for reality TV.
Yep.
But I felt bad because he got iced out and like that he was just being himself.
He was just being himself.
Chris is the easy slide in here, and I like Chris, like, for the awkward dad joke, and watching him try to spit game the girls was so fun.
I agree with that. Yeah. Hey, let's sit with Chris then.
Yeah, I think Chris is the answer there. But don't forget to go get your tickets. The link is in our bio for our show on May 3rd. It is a Friday night down in D.C. at Union Stage. Again, Candace Dillard will be joining us. Chris Bassett will be joining us. And a potential third guest that we know well. You've heard him here before. That's the most hints I can give you until he confirms. But it's going to be a great night. It's an awesome, awesome venue. Like I said, it's a big venue. So bring all your friends. Fill that place out. I want to show up. I want the bros to show up and show out.
Show up and show out, boys.
You got anything else?
Nope. See you tomorrow.
Hey, bro. What do you know?
I'll be more awake tomorrow.
Bravo's better.
Hey, hey. It's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.